Our Father and our God, we're very grateful you're here this morning, and we pray, yes, even there is a spirit of rejoicing amongst us, it shall become greater and more fervent as we rejoice in you, our Lord, our God, who is here for the fixed purpose of getting us out of here, Lord, putting a church in order, raising the dead, changing your saints into immortal beings, bringing us to the rapture, the waiting supper, and then back, Lord God, to possess an earth which belongs to you, that you are giving to your children, Lord. These things we appreciate. We love you for it, Lord. We know you love us because you made everything so propitious for the outworking of your grace in us, your fatherhood in us, Lord. We can see your hand outstretched, your mercy and your love. We pray now you'll guide us by your word. Fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit as the life within the word is released, Lord, as we pile word upon word through your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're into number 10 of the message that Brother Branham brought us, in God of this Evil Age. And you remember the last Friday in that dissertation, which was number 9, we found that Brother Branham made a most illuminating but a truly devastating statement as pertaining to this age. And of course, it's to the people of this world. He unequivocally said, "The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man above the vindicated word of God for the hour." In other words, the wisdom, there is a wisdom in this world that has been accepted whose source is of Satan. Now, this word of Satan, this wisdom, which really is, what do you apply and how do you apply it in order to not only get the maximum amount of good, but to literally be in a place of good with what is available within that particular area. So Satan has something that he is giving that he is asking the people, and they are responding to what he is saying to apply. All right, so the word of Satan is so approved as to be given preeminence over the vindicated word of God of the hour. Thus now Satan's wisdom supersedes God's wisdom to the extent that it is used in worship. All right. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, and in verse 30, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." That's what he said. "And he that scattereth not with me scattereth abroad." In other words, he's doing exactly opposite to what I'm doing, and he is into those things which I am not into. Now, we could conduct this as a class, and I could ask you some questions. And first of all, I'd ask you, what comes to your mind when chapter 12 of Matthew comes up? Well, of course, I'm not asking for answers, but you know that's the chapter I use instead of chapter 4, where Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire through a prophet comes back and does in the Spirit what he did in the flesh when he was upon earth, proving he is risen from the dead and is about to come back and take over his possessions. This is known as the days of the Son of Man, which is known as the appearing. And you will notice at this time that they bring to Jesus a man who is both deaf and dumb, and he heals him, and the people get angry because a few little elect said, "This has got to be the Son of David. This has to be the Messiah." And Satan's bunch said, "Shut up, you idiots. This is not that one. This is the other one." Now, John the Baptist, the prophet of God, pointed out the Messiah and said, this is the one. And Satan comes right behind and he says, aha, that is not the one. In fact, he's mine. Right or wrong? Well, come on, right or wrong? Some of you are trying to stonewall me. Don't stonewall me. This is white throne. You are of your father the devil, said Jesus, and this is their testimony. This is the wisdom of Satan. This man is mine. Satan laid claim to Jesus. Right or wrong? Well, come on. Right or wrong? Don't sit here and try to kid me or anybody else, because this is not that hour to do so. This is a white throne. And I, as a minister, require every word that I say to you as God requires of me. This fellow casts out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Satan not only laid claim to Jesus, but he claimed to be the author of healing. And denied that this man was in that condition because of him, and he blamed it onto God. Right or wrong? Do what you want, I don't care. I'm right. Now, Jesus said, hold it. If Satan cast out Satan, if I am the manifestation of Satan and he by me is doing this, then he's running the show. Because your children are doing it too. Huh? Okay. By whom do your children do it? Therefore be the judge. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not me scatters abroad. And that has nothing to do with the ministry. It has to do with the man who's doing the talking, which is Jesus, and the ministry merely vindicated it. Now, this is for our hour. So, therefore, you see where the world is. It's entirely run by the wisdom of Satan. Let's go back to the beginning and trace it through. We go to Genesis chapter 4, and we read 1 to 13. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Well, that's what she said. Find where God backed it up. Huh! God backed it up, my foot. This little serpent seed, son of the devil, by the beast is a murderer. And Abel was a, and again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought out of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offerings. But unto Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? Now, the actual translation there, if you get the Septuagint, which I consider the actual perfect one, is, it is, thou hast rightly offered, but thou hast not rightly divided. And that's exactly what it says in the book of Timothy. Brother Branham said the same thing. If you don't divide right, it doesn't matter what you do from that point on. See? What he's saying here is, all right, there's a sin offering right there available to you, but if you don't take it, everything else you've done is out. It won't work. And Cain Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now remember, this killing is over a conversation. Now what do you think they were talking about? "Well," said Abel, "I think it's going to be a lovely day tomorrow because I see the sky is red." And so Cain said, "You stupid jerk. That has nothing to do with it." So he killed him. Do you think that was a conversation? It certainly was not. The conversation was over the revelation. Otherwise, it would be a travesty against even human logics to have the setting it's in. The setting is over a disputed revelation. And God entered into the dispute. And this fellow got so mad at God, he took it out on his brother. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I don't know." What a stupid question. "I'm not my brother's keeper. Go check it out for yourself." And God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." There are two voices that cry. One is blood, and the other is the testimony. "The voice of many waters is the witness of multitudes of saints in the hereafter, even as well as now." And he said, "Now thou art cursed from the earth. And the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." Now you notice in here there is a double curse. "A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment greater than I bear. Behold, you have driven me from the face of the earth," and so on. Now, let's go over here to 1 John, which we've done many, many times. And we've looked exactly what the Holy Spirit said through John concerning this, because he had an understanding. In chapter 3, 1 John, "For this is a message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." All right, now this is not a message that says, "Hey, you two birds, you better love each other. Come on now, you better get together and love. Hey now, man, let's get this thing straight. That's a big thing of love." That's not the message. The message is this: if you have it and you are of God, you will have love. Well, come on, tell me you won't. Such utter nonsense. It says right down here, "Marvel not if the world hate you." It tells you of love. It tells you, first of all, there's going to be that love of the word that Abel stood for, and you are going to have, you're going to have a love for those that stand with you, because you recognize your enemies. Now, the word of God we took in this very sermon here showed us categorically that anything against the word was your enemy. But your brother was one with you in the word. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love depends only upon one thing, and that is an intimate, identical understanding of the word." It's a revelation, because that's why you got denominations and splits and everything else, and that's why you got holy wars and all the trouble going and all the fights and everything else. This church knows positively in the beginning the own testimony of this church is, "Brother Vail, if we'd have really known what you were preaching, we would not have come against you. We would not have had problems." Your own testimony in this church proves that I have not killed the living. I have not stood for the wrong thing. I am preaching the truth, and you know it. And it doesn't matter to me. I can go down the road and preach it, because this is something apart from me that I'm responsible for. All right. He says here, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother." Now, he says, this is the message, that we should love one another, and he's talking to brothers. Now, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. It was over worship. It was over a commitment to God. It was over a revelation from God. It was over the fact that these were two different species. Two different sources of life. Even though born by a woman. See? Now the evil work that he did, number one, was denying the revelation. That's a child of disobedience. Absolute disbelief in the face of God's evidence. Just like Jesus said, you hypocrites, you can discern the signs of the skies. How can you not discern now what is before you? Because you know you can't produce it, and it's in the Bible and says it can be produced, and it was produced by men ahead of me. Now I stand right here, he said, in the mold of those men, especially Moses. And you turn me down? He said, you are of your father the devil. Now let's get this plant, brother, sister. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father he will do. And you know jolly well that Satan never sired anything, because Satan can't produce sperm. He's got to identify himself with the creature. And he did. And he injected into the human race the animalism which we see today. So, all right, marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you. So what is the world? It's the one that turns down the revelation. As Brother Branham said, one word off of Satan's kingdom. Now let's ask a question. How many words off for the Mormons? How many words off for those bunch over there in Asia Minor? Or the Iranians? And the Iraqi? And the Kuwaiti? How far off are those in Africa? How far off are those in China? How far off in India? Come on! What's going on there now is a judgment of God upon the heathen. Just what the prophet said. Few there be that find it. Eight people made the ark. That's what you're looking at. Now, let me show you something. This ends in our day, this evil age. Revelation chapter 16, and look in verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and they cursed God to his face. They blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And when God rebuked Cain, Cain was angry. And he whimpered. Why should this happen to me anyway? God's a mean God. Do you realize what that fella Cain did? He spit right in God's face. Now, God's changed his way of doing things. He does not come down to individuals he came down. He comes by a prophet, if that is true. A scientific picture of the pillar of fire, in which is the Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of a pillar of fire, in the form of the Holy Spirit, restoring through the prophet Ezekiel the days of the Son of Man, and that's turned down. That's no different from Cain. Well, you say, well, I think it is. Well, you think what you want. You just plumb don't even know what I'm talking about. And if you think I'm tough here, I'm going to tell you something. I hear from congregations around the country where people are supposed to be taught this message the way we're teaching it, and those poor people don't have a clue. Someday I'm going to just take you all in office and just question you and see what you do know. No, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't do any good. It'd be embarrassing anyway. All right. Now, let's go further. Let's read 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not. Now, this is a knowing, a positively knowing group of worshipers who are caught up in a world system. And this is their conduct. Now, let's look at this. This outfit is Revelation 18, 9 to 19. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now, Satan's Eden started there in blaspheming God, rejecting God, defying God, and complaining and grouching about it. And God said, the earth now has a double portion poured upon it for you. Right. I didn't read you wrong. Over there in the third chapter, he said to Adam, he said, the earth shall now bring forth briars, but unto Cain he multiplied it. In other words, it is like a second death. There's an addition there. Now, notice that kingdom that started, Satan's Eden, which we studied the last time. The kings of the earth are there. They've committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now he's talking about Babylon, a religious system. And he's talking about the Antichrist, the devil, and the whole bunch in that group. Standing afar off and saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, this is not the ancient Babylon that's already been destroyed, where you hear people talking, these stupid guys, that they're going to put a computer chip under your skin, you know, as a mark of the beast and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying they can't do it, but that's not it. Oh, they say, don't you know Babylon is about to be rebuilt? Who said so? You know, let me tell you people something right now. Nobody writes a book anymore without wanting money. They will write anything to get money. They will plagiarize to get money. This preventive magazine, this Bird Bricklin, if you're getting his books, I'm going to tell you something, forget it. He's a plagiarist. He's a plagiarist. That's all he is. Years ago, he said that till, T-I-L, was good and drunk in India. It's made into a tea and it's good for sinus trouble. Now, can anybody tell me what T-I-L is? Now, come on, raise your hand. Nobody? You know what it is? Sure, it's sesame seed. Sesame is what it is, T-I-L. I got a book by a fellow named Tobe. He didn't know. Everybody plagiarized somebody because they wanted to make a buck or two. I finally got a hold of a guy who was brilliant. He taught in Notre Dame. His name is Dr. Joseph Cadens. And he knew what till was. And nobody else did. What I'm trying to tell you here is this. Every time you pick up a book, every time you see something, you better question whether it rings with the Word of God, or it's somebody in the media, or some stupid journalist, or somebody, and they all want to make a buck. So you better be suspicious. The mail's full of asking for money. And the best thing you can do is take your hands out of your pocket and keep them there, unless it's for widows and orphans that you know personally, or you want to spend a little bit on yourself and the family. 99% are pure, unadulterated crooks in the world system. Babylon. Babylon, this great city, is Rome. Because somebody writes a letter and says, hey, little things are going on here and there, and don't you know now, they're going to rebuild Babylon, that's it. That's a lot of hogwash. They're liars who want your money, that's all they want. Now, this church system has got everybody in it, merchants, And they have gold and silver and precious stones and pearl and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and pine wood and all manner of vessels. Aren't the De Beers actually what they're supposed to be, South Africa? But I imagine they're Jews. They're all linked up with Russia now. You know, they're going to keep the gem market under control so they get all the money, really still a bit at a time, so they keep the money coming in, like the oil and all these things. Well, I got news for that bunch of idiots. Rome is going to take the whole thing over. The system that started in Eden, where Satan was transforming it in his own Eden, is a mercantile, religious, pseudo-religious setup. And he's running every single thing from the computer's detail. Maybe he's going to have a computer chip. He doesn't need computer chips. Let me tell you that. The devil doesn't need computer chips. Because a computer can only prognosticate insofar as the data and hasn't got any power outside of the data. But God gave Satan power to not only prognosticate but do it. Computers can't do. They can only take certain data. In here's fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses, chariots, slaves, and the souls of men. And the fruits that they sold us, that sold us, are departed from thee. And the things, and all right down the line, it tells you this Satan's Eden here absolutely started there in the Garden of Eden. It ends up completely blaspheming God even in the Great Tribulation. In other words, the human race comes to the place where it cannot be corrected. They are incorrigible. Now, some of you people are raising kids like that right now. I ought to hurt your feelings, but neither am I stupid to stand up here and not tell you the truth. If time goes on, you're going to see more and more. They're simply incorrigible. You know what God said about an incorrigible child? The parents were to bring him before the elders, and they all stoned him. When God was leading Israel into Canaan's land, he said, the cup of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. Destroy the Canaanites. They were homosexuals. It wasn't only intercourse in the Garden of Eden. It was wrong intercourse. It was bestial. And today, all except the little bride and a few of the foolish virgin and 144,000 Jews ordained of God, all the rest are brute beasts. That's why you've got AIDS and everything else today, and it's going to continue that way. The human race is incorrigible. Now, what do you do to the incorrigible? You stone them. God's going to send 100-pound hailstones upon the people. What do you do with a whore? You burn her. What's going to happen at the end? The same fire that destroys root and branch at this age in which we live is the same fire that will literally annihilate. I don't know any kind of fire God has except any one avenging fire. It's all the same thing. Just depends what he's doing. Just like there's one Holy Ghost, one God, it all depends what he's doing. That's how they're differentiated. All right, you can understand then what I'm saying. Now, we don't have to read all the way down to, well, it says here, and they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we're made rich. And now, right down the line, it tells you this. They are incorrigible. They blaspheme God, his very name, by taking the word of Satan, the wisdom and all. And they feel pity toward the very thing that brings it. Then how complete is Satan's control when it comes to worship? He's got it. He runs it. And the churches today are fomenting it. They are bringing them right into the fold, the harlot and her prostitute daughters. And they're going to control everything. If you think it's going to be hard to control the Arabs, you don't even know what you're talking about, because they had a crusade against the Turks and the Arabs years ago, and now they got better equipped for it. And this time, don't think for 1 minute that Rome will not succeed in a crusade if she wants to do it. And the Iraqis Hussein, Saddam Hussein, he can rattle his sword all he wants, and he can say, well, I got a reactor. I'm going to tell you, if Rome clicks her finger, she won't need a reactor. We'll react for her. They'll be wiped out so fast their stupid little heads will spin. Try. You are dealing with world authority and power led by the devil when you're dealing in here. And the one who said, I'll exalt my throne above the throne of God and take over his kingdom. He's doing it right there, only to have it wrenched out of his hand. But I want you to see the truth. Now take note. I'm going to go back to Matthew again. And this time we're going to read Matthew 23. You can see why I never get anywhere at these sermons. I'm sorry, but that's your tough luck. And mine at the same time, because I got to pay the price of preaching. Get all tired. Listen, verse 20, and I warned you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Hey, these scribes are merely those who write something that somebody else said or wrote. Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. In other words, you've got a whole church system here that does nothing but write and say what the people at the head, which are Pharisees, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, be a witness unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophets. How many people today in Christians say, aha, Catholics say, aha. Now, if we'd have been there, we would not have done it. All the Catholics said, if Pope John had been there instead of Leo, the daughters would not have left her. They fulfill Scripture. The whore is still the whore, and her church is still whorish. Hindsight is always 20/20. But notice what the Catholics said. They would not have left. Now they're saying, come on back. We've repented. Repented of what? Repented of losing you Protestants, which we haven't lost because you got our baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which we invented. So now they control it all. And the Protestants walk to the Pope. You serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Now, God's got his own order. And some of them you'll kill and crucify. Some of them you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute city to city. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew in the between the temple and altar. Now, that sounds like that's future. It is. It's past and it's still future. It took place and it's still taking place, because he said these are things to come. Verily, all these things come upon this generation. See? It starts there. It was a mini great tribulation, and it's going to be with the Gentiles. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest in their vicinity. How often they gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, you would not. Now remember, Jerusalem on earth here is merely a type of the heavenly. O Zion, how fair you are. Jerusalem, the place of peace, indicating millennium, indicating the new Jerusalem. And he said to the people, the children of God, I can only gather you through the prophets. That's right. And because you don't believe the prophets, and those that teach the prophets, and those that write the prophet, there's nothing left for you. Now he said, here, your house is left desolate. You'll not see me henceforth. You say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I wonder if today we're saying that same thing along with the Jews. Of course, they're looking forward to it. Well, can we say, blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord, which is William Branham. And blessed is he, even the Lord himself, in the form of the Holy Ghost in our midst. People don't even recognize it. They make it a doctrine. Now listen. Never forget that this is mind, M-I-N-D, blindness. There is no scripture that says Satan entered Eve. There is no scripture that says even an evil spirit entered into Eve. The truth of the matter was, is that she was made not in the original creation, and actually subject in her spirit to be contacted and anointed in her spirit by Satan, who spoke to the serpent, who is almost identical to a man. Now, watch what it says in Romans the 8th chapter, verse 5. For they which are after the flesh do mind, M-I-N-D, the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we're talking now about the Holy Ghost and the mind. And the mind, though in the brain, is not the brain. It's the physical attribute necessary for the mind. And now you're dealing with the spirit, which is spirit and mind are absolutely one in that particular respect. Now, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What's in the flesh? Oh, drinking, smoking. Oh, come on, I just read it to you. It's to put your mind at the disposal of Satan, who appeals to the senses. God does not appeal to the senses. Now, he has to use them, but he doesn't appeal to it. That's where people get their big mistake. So it means you've got to bypass your senses somehow and let the Spirit of God get to your mind, which is exactly true. Now, watch, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Therefore, the secret, then, is to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now you've got the crossover, so that the Holy Ghost can draw the word through the mind and bring a life which can come forth now into an evidence. And the evidence will always be standing with the word. Because all little Abel had to do was to say, well, Cain, listen, I believe I heard from God. And I believe this is the thing for me to do. But hey, man, you're just as right as I am. You don't have to pay attention to God. He could have stopped the whole fiasco right there. But this little guy didn't have a brain where Jack Bell said he would take him out to play with it. He didn't have a brain at all. He didn't need a brain. You see what I mean? I'm talking now about the physical, carnal things whatsoever. He didn't need it. He knew that he was right, and he stood with it because the Bible said they were talking. Now, if Cain got mad at God for what God said, and he couldn't take a big club and beat him down, then he had to get mad for the same reason over Abel and kill him. And there's where the blood of the martyrs is. And unless your love comes from the Holy Spirit, who comes through the word, you shed your blood, you burn your body in vain. And though you have access to all mysteries and can quote everything and anything, unless you've got a true revelation of the word of God by the life of the that's in the word, you haven't got it. That's why they keep saying, well, this is just a doctrine. How in the world can Jesus be standing here knocking at the church door and there's his present picture taken? That's a doctrine. I want you people to be appalled this morning why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. I want you to get sick at heart. There's too much on the top of your heads. And I'm not blaming you. I've got it there too. Just once in a while, I get really sick in here. And let me tell you something. Until you get that way, the death angel cannot pass over you. Because God's got his angel marking people right now who sigh and cry over sin. And the greatest sin is when Moses came down and they saw all of the power and the wonders done and they'd gone astray in their whoredoms to the golden calf. They'd left the living God. Forgot the presence of God. But they said, Moses, you deal for us. And God said, that's the way it's going to be. All right. I'm going to read you now in 2 Corinthians. So you get the same picture, the 10th chapter. Notice, now Paul myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you and being absent am bold toward you. In other words, he's saying, I'm not coming with a big stick, bless God, and I'm not going to act like Moses, and I'm going to say, must be fresh water out of the rock for your ribbons, bang, bang, bang. He said, I'm not going to come now and explode in your midst like a tornado and a hurricane. He said, I could do, but I'm not doing it. Christ put all that aside when he became the Lamb upon Calvary. No more bang, bang, bang. No more fireworks. Just a vindication. Now he said, but I beseech you, I may be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, as though this is a little message I preach is just after my own mind or something I thought up, like the accused brother Branham and Moses and Jesus. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings. That word imagination is reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, who's the highest thing outside of God and his Son? Satan. Who exalted himself against God by knowledge? Satan. So then, Brother Branham's statement, the wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship. Right here in Corinth. Right there. To the church that had left the true Spirit, the true Jesus, and the true gospel. Now, who did it? Satan's crew did it. So you see who's anointing the church? You don't have to be devil-possessed to be completely lost in serpent seed. Where did you get that nonsense? You'd have to go out here and drink blood out of a skull and worship Satan. Oh, great Satan, oh, great Satan, I give myself to you because I want my lust fulfilled. I want my money fulfilled. I want to get this. You don't have to act. Come on. You can stand right in the church of God, holy old Pope. And the holy old rollers, Pentecost. And the new big shot, Archbishop in Canterbury, Dr. Carey now. Rumsey's gone. He was a rum fella. He's gone. Nice old Carey's there. Sweet old boy. Casting down reasonings and every high thing is all self against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, to come against everything in you that says, oh, this has got to be wrong, that's got to be wrong, because my training said so. When your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, when you come to the place of recognizing a true vindication, you prove you believe in vindication by saying the prophet's right, I'm wrong. I've told you my experience along that line. I don't have to tell them again. You know I'm telling you the truth. Now, do we look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him think this again, that even as he is Christ, even we are. He's more so, see? I've got vindication, said Paul. And Paul goes right down the line, and he gives them vindication, wherein he says, I stand all alone. I'm sorry. I don't mean to exclude anybody, but I'm the one that God sent with vindication that all men stand back. That's exactly what Moses said. That's what Paul said. That's what William Branham said. And the people say, oh, now just a minute. It couldn't be that God would be so mighty as to come forth and vindicate himself through a man. You see, you missed the whole thing. Now, what is a man like that saying? He's saying, well, you know, I'm a real son of God. And you know, God could speak to me too. I'm telling you something. God spoke to Cain. Where did that leave Cain? It wouldn't do you two bits if you weren't the vessel. Cord Dayton and Byron tried the same thing. Cord Dayton and Byron. They could prophesy a bit, so they came against Moses and they got a, what's known as a Hollywood roasting. You know what Hollywood roasting is? They recognize your presence by ridicule. And so God burned them and their families. It was a real roasting. They were ridiculed. How do you feel? How would you feel in the dock? Standing rather in front of the jury, and the judge sentenced you to shame before the people. The wicked shall not stand in the judgment. When the record is read and the saints of God come against these people, stand there as attorneys and witnesses. Absolutely stand right there. They're blown plumb out. Embarrassed, ridiculed. And you know what it does? It gets them so inflamed that they get under Satan once again and attack the holy encampment. You say, Brother Vail, do you believe the church is in that shape? That's what I've been trying to preach all these 8 years to you people since I'm pretty well settled down here. Don't you believe Brother Branham said it's gone? I don't pray for America anymore. It's all sanded out. Oh, he said 25 years ago. Oh, he said maybe 50 souls came to the altar. I don't know if anybody got saved. I'm not saying they can't be saved. I'm just telling you something. The condition. Now then, as we see this so clearly, let us understand that we are looking at two words. That is two separate doctrinal theses. By two spirits. So you got two doctrines, two words, by two spirit beings, which are both God, for both God and Satan are spirit beings. They are. And both have a word. Now let us carefully remember that the word is the conduit of the Spirit. That's right. And also remember, as axiomatic, that worship is composed of both word and spirit, with God only accepting, A-C-B-T-I-N-G, accepting only truth, or his own vindicated and revealed word, as the conduit of the Spirit whereby he's worshipped. So how does a church get full of the devil? The same as a bride gets full of God. God came more and more in his church through the measure of the Word, and in the Word lay the Spirit, until today we have the fullness of the Holy Ghost, which means we have all of the Word, in spite of those that try to tell you from Jefferson and other places you don't have it. Brother Branham, before he died, categorically said we had everything to put us in the rapture. That means the dead can come forth and everything else. Well, they don't choose to believe the prophet. They choose to believe other statements that make Brother Branham a contradiction. Now, the Bible contradicts it. William Branham contradicts, the Bible contradicts. Hey, isn't that what the serpent said? Yeah. It was a serpent contradicting, but he made God the contradictor because he said, hey, God did not mean that. Oh, you shall not surely die. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. Way in the garden, the devil said, thou shalt not surely, or thou shalt not die. Jesus used the Greek, and he went a step further. Never, never, never perish. He trumped the devil's ace. True. I hope you caught them. That's what we're there in John. Yeah. No other worship is accepted, and neither is this worship admitted to be directed toward God, though the so-called worshiper believes otherwise.
What I'm saying here, that God doesn't not only accept it, He doesn't recognize it. Okay? Genesis 4. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He said, I don't accept you. Yet Cain intruded himself upon God. And he said, I'm going to worship you. And God said, I don't recognize you or your worship. Well, let's go down the road. Matthew 7. This is a great white throne. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name won worse? I never ever knew you. He never knew them or their worship. Then people try to tell me that something outside of this message will come to life or has any life in it. Do you understand now why 8 people got in the ark and they were all family? And remember, there's nothing said about Noah's wife and nothing said about his sons or the daughters that's worth a plug nickel. The total identification is in Noah, who was the last true human being, genetically perfect. Jesus was a genetically perfect man and beyond it. Because the sperm and the egg had nothing to do with a man or a woman. It was created. And Mary contributed nothing but the body factor. All right, notice Cain is rejected, though he aimed his worship toward God. He knew who he was. Cain is corrected, and he refuses correction. Now, here is the serpent seed, the son of Satan, worshiping God. Now, there's coming a time when every tongue is going to confess and every knee bow, whether they want to or not, that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father, and it started right now. Now, this guy, he's not going to be corrected. Let's see what the great writer of the Proverbs said. Solomon, I suppose. 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and that he that hateth reproof shall die. Now Cain knew that. And he said, if you do this, he said, people will kill me. He said, no, they won't kill you. You know what he could have said? But you'll still be the killer with your religion. And at the end time, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants have within them the souls that were sacrificed for the religion. All those Incas, my, how they sacrificed the kids and the women and God knows what. All those people in India, all those dirty people in Africa. What about the Roman Catholics? They talked about Jesus and went around bearing crosses and all kinds of monumental corruption in the name of Jesus Christ. Sheer folly and paganism. Killed millions of Protestants. That's nothing. They died in glory. Hallelujah. That's where they're at. 68 million died for Jesus. I don't say they're all gone there, but they died for him. But think of the billions whose souls have been committed through the church to God, and the church has no right for a commission. Now, quickly let us see this in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. What we're talking about, this wisdom, this word, this gospel, this message, this everything. Let's take a look at ministry, shall we? It tells us in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians that Satan has ministers, and they're transformed into ministers of light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, they have fellowship one with another. It tells you these men say, we have the definitive revelation. Where are these Branhamites that make that a doctrine? I'm going to run that plumb in the ground until the life cries back, and it will. You say, Brother Vail, you saying you're standing before the white throne? I'm standing before the white throne. I can't change it. I can't help it. You know, for a little while when I was sick out there in Tucson, I tried to think, well, my God, let me pretend these people are right. I became so dry and so sere, and I began to lose the revelation until I cried out to God. Just start doubting, kiddo, this morning. I'm going to look you all in the eye. Just start doubting. Come on, start doubting. Start asking your question. I'm looking everybody in the eye. You'll find out what I'm telling you. You'll die. You'll dry up dead. I told you the truth. I'm going to be held accountable if I told you the truth or not. Because it's white throne now. I'm not going anywhere that you're not going. People can't believe it's over. Oh, there's a fence we can still sit on. There's a corner to turn. I got news you. Time and eternity have blended. Or William Branham. William Branham, you're a liar! And like Cain, with a pillar of fire, dared to lie. If time and eternity are not blending, we're standing, as he said. Kind of shakes you, doesn't it? Ephesians, listen to it. Fourth chapter, fourth verse. There's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, even Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There you are. That's the church, the true bride. That's what she's got. One body and one spirit. One hope of calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Who's the Lord? Jesus Christ. Who's God the Father? Tells you who he is. Now, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, now, according to the gift of Christ, what Christ gave us, that's the measure of grace, which means it's free, it's ours. And the Bible distinctly said, Paul speaking, if God spared not his own Son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now, listen to me. Under that grace, there's one body, one spirit, one hope of calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God is in all and all. Well, you say, hey, that covers it. You're right. That's grace. That's it. As big as God is, that's the grace Jesus procured. Wherefore, as he said, now because of this, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now tells you because of this. Here's what he's doing about it. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first lowest parts of the earth. Now that was not the body. Peter tells us he went to the lowest parts and he preached to those disobedient ones before the flood. And he led captivity captive. Now he that ascended, what is it? He first descended, lower parts of the earth, right into Hades. Now, he that descended is the same also that ascended. So, the one that went down, which was spirit, went up, came back. Absolutely. Now, who said that? Paul said that. Did Peter say it? Nope. Was that Pentecost? Nope. Church wasn't set in order. How can you build a house without a platform, without a foundation? The foundation was laid by AD 53. And Paul came on and Peter himself declared that the cornerstone was rejected. Who did it? Israel rejected. And Paul turned to the Gentiles, and if he was a cornerstone then, he was, under Peter, he was a cornerstone with Paul. Now, Christ has a ministry of rejection, period. So if he ever came back as a capstone to the church, he would have to be rejected. Because I think people changed for the worse they did. Hey, you don't believe it? What is it? What's that supersonic Concorde? Yeah, Concorde. STS or something? SST? You know, like that, it's across the land. Well, you and I can do today? I can commit adultery in America at 3 p.m. and be in the arms of the best French prostitute 4 hours later, 3 hours, or it takes. What am I trying to tell you? I can do the same with the bank. I can do the same with murder. I can do anything. Sin today is fast. Never mind a little bit in the garden. Around the world like that. It was proven with the Iran gate. Adnan Khashoggi could be here today over there yonder with billions of bucks. Say one word, circles the globe instantly. Sin instantly. It's accelerated. What started as one little toothpick is now a monumental giant forest that no man can saw his way out of. Oh, you talk about the mess we're in. See? Now, he that descended is the same that ascended above all things, and he might fill all things. Now, listen, it tells you that God the Father, who is above all and through all and in all, that this is a futuristic prophetic statement of what has already started and will be culminated where the Son turns everything over to the Father and all in all the Father is. That's going on now with the show. Now what's it say next? Now to do this, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Fivefold ministry. Now, those say there's no fivefold ministry. So then, where are we at? Would one person here like to call himself in this position here, watch, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? Now, the one that came down gave this according to grace. Now, if you believe in grace, you got to believe in this, that this is a measure of that grace, which is a measure of God, which Jesus made the way clear for us to have. But the preachers get all messed up here. They want to make it think that you get there by them. It doesn't say that. You get there by Him. And all of these people have to do with the Word. How are they going to quit preaching? Now watch. Till we all come in unity of the faith, not a faith, but the faith, even of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, whatever He came down here to perform, to give us the word of grace, such word is ministered by a fivefold minister, starting with the prophet Paul, brings you to the capstone, where there's no more to be poured into the church. Now, this could fool you right here. What if it's been poured in and you deny it because you're judging by your own experience in your own life? Brother Branham said, this is man's day of judging. It's man's day, but oh, what a botched up job he's done. Now listen, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But holding the truth and speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him, not into Him. We're in Him already. And we are identified with the headstone in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now it tells you you're growing up. Now, when you come to Scripture, what are you growing up from? You are growing up from a foundation, which is the footer. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid by Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. But be careful how you build thereon. So it tells you there's an edifice, and it's a pyramid, and the foundation is there, it's laid, and now you're going on from the cornerstone to the capstone. And the capstone cannot come until the full measure is there, which number one will put them together. I'm talking number one of the people. It's got to be the last people in the last age. And it's got to be the last measure of the word for the last measure of spirit. And then you've got a completion. The same as a baby is born from the sperm and the egg and is nourished. So in the church from the cornerstone is Christ nourished and brought up in a church until he's recognized as head. Tell me. The church center recognizes the Pope and the Archbishop and the Metropolitan and the President and the Elder and all of these things. Can that church recognize Christ? No! They betrayed him. You know why? Because they think they got a hand in it. I don't have a hand in this message. If I'm preaching, Brother Branham, and I do my best with what little gift I have to bring you right back to the Word, which Brother Branham said, the teacher handles the Scripture like no man living. That was my job, to do these things. And he taught me how to do it. He said, come on, Lee, research it. You'll find it. Now watch. Holding the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, let me tell you something. What is the all things? One God, even the Father, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he is all things. Now, how close are we? Right near the button. Because 1 Corinthians 15 said, the chrusma is putting the church in subjection. That's the shout. And this one is putting all things under the feet of Jesus, who we meet in the Lord, air, who is called meet the Lord in the air. And the Son is going to hand it back to him after the white throne, when New Jerusalem comes down. Now it tells you, this is where we're going. And the whole body is going to make it. Now listen, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Seven church ages, a fivefold ministry, and a bride in that time listening to Christ, bringing the church to headship so he can take it over. Rome says we're doing it. The Protestants say we're doing it. Come on and join us. Hey, we're doing it. Eight people. Listen to me. Eight people. I know this is tough. I know. It'd be nice, you know. But listen, there's nothing nicer than nice when it comes from God. I don't care what it looks like. There is no beauty that we should desire him. There is no way that anybody can receive Brother Branham unless they got the peculiar thing that's in Brother Branham in measuring them. There is no way. Now, every joint supplied. Now, how's it supplying it? It's supplying it through the prophet who said at the end time, those who are going to make it, escape judgment, and be glorified in his presence are those that have his gospel. But way before he died, he said, you've got a new Jesus. You got a new gospel. You got a new spirit. Merciful God, what more could you want for error? You go downtown to pick up a cake. And what more could you want? Then it's not a piece of cake, it's a hunk of dead liver. And on top of that, it's got maggots. And the fourth thing is so rotten, it stinks to high heaven. You say, holy mackerel. Boy, did I get took. That's the church. No Jesus, no Spirit, no Word. Except it's the wrong Jesus, the wrong Spirit, the wrong Word. Now, come on, that's the Word of God. You say, Brother Bill, I'm going to go home and not come back. Thank you, I'm glad you're doing that. And people send the tapes back to me and say, praise the Lord. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad at all. Now listen, what I read to you here is, number one, the headship of Christ, the Word, is here. Because what do you think he gave the Apostle Paul? What's in his fivefold ministry? What's in the bride? The Word. That guarantees the Holy Spirit. He's got a home now. See? Second, the headship of Satan, or the false word, or lie, is here. He's here. Two spirits. Brother Branham said they're here. Three, two spirits, razor edge close, are here. Except for having a true, wonderfully magnetized or amplified microscope, you wouldn't have an idea if that's a real diamond or not. Razor close. Now listen, Revelation 22:10-19 is here. Now you don't have to believe it unless you want to believe it. Now listen, remember, John had to write what he saw, and it had to coincide with Paul, or there's something wrong. Now remember, the book was sealed up, and the thunders were silenced. In other words, you couldn't know what they were. Now watch. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. The very thing that Paul spoke of, the mystery of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, this is it. He that's unjust is unjust still. He that's filthy is filthy still. Righteous, righteous still. Holy, holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now remember, the Holy Spirit comes down at the end time, the capstone, puts the church in order, raises the dead, calls us to the wedding supper, and takes us away where we meet our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. Right. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. He tells you what was started there in the Garden of Eden is being finished. What was started? Man on his trail to the fulfillment of God. Now, the tree of life has to appear from somewhere. Because Alpha is Omega. The very conditions of the beginning are here again. Do you want to enter in? Or are you going to be fooled by Satan one more time? Well, of course, everybody but the bride gets food. Now watch. Blessed are they that wash their robes, do their commandments. That's a travesty against the Word of God. What bird put that in there? The Greeks said, blessed are they that wash their robes. That's Paul in the waters of separation. Come on, put your finger there and let's go back to Ephesians. Let's find out some of these things. Just don't go, we just can't go shooting off at the mouth as though we got some little axe to grind. We're going to prove it. You can twist Scripture, bless God, until you twist everything not and prove anything you want. That's where they get this polygamy and all this junk. Listen to what it says here, verse 25, Ephesians 5. Husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy without blemish. Now it tells you right there that there's something there he not only died for, but something he's going to do, and it has to do with the presentation. So, here you got it. Those who wash their robes in the water of life. Now, what is the water of life? It's a river. What contains the river? The channel. So now you got a channel, and you got life running through it. The water of life. Put that on the Holy Ghost. What have you got now? Ezekiel's river. The full complement of the Word of God that's flowed from the east to the west. And now, it becomes not only a river, but a mighty flood to take you over. God himself on the scene to float you across to the life that's in the Word. Now, watch. That you may have the right to the tree of life. Now you got the right to it. That you may have the right to the tree of life. The right to it. What does that mean? Satan's days are done. Like Brother Branham said, the Book of Redemption brought it down. Satan, the title deeds in my hands have taken over. See? He said God didn't leave his son down there in Eden for just somebody. He came down himself. So in this hour, he came down. He's got you. He came down for his son and daughter's sake. Then he pulled the plug on them by taking away the tree of life. They couldn't touch it. Why? He didn't want them in that condition. Now he comes right down and plunks the tree down. Say, now do you want it? Here's your chance. Here's the truth. Here's the hour. And the prophet explained 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and they said, hogwash. Now the Branhamites are saying, hogwash to the presence, which is the appearing. Tell me when he went away. Tell me. I could quote you, the prophet said, the pillar of fire leads us into the millennium. Maybe you're a bunch of ladderiners. You got a yo-yo. Come down, goes up. Come down, goes up. Come down, goes up. Oh, that's a yo-yo. That ain't the word of God. Christ coming more and more in his church started in June the 11th, 1933. And here it is right here. He came down and opened the seal, showing that he's taking authority now. God putting everything under his feet. See? Oh, my. Now listen. For without her dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth the make of the lie. Why? Because he that is just is still just, and he that is unjust is unjust. He that's filthy is filthy. Holy, holy, it tells you right there. So what do you expect over here? Well, suddenly, bless God, I tell you, my Lord's a wonderful Lord, and I love him, and he loves me, and I don't need that stuff. You say, I'm holy, hallelujah. My Bible says you're a whoremongering the dog. And that's enough to get me killed. Especially dogs are male prostitutes. Sorcerers, druggists, whoremongers, murderers, adulterers. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now who loved and made a lie? Satan did, and his son did. I, Jesus, and mine angels are testifying to these things, that my messenger to the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The hymns of heirs say, come. That hymns of thirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the waters life freely. How about if they don't want it? You ever talked to anybody about this? God dropped it, get out of here. So you got kicked out one time, didn't you? Out of a house. Let you stay till morning, didn't they? Let you stay your brother-in-law or somebody. Let you stay, kicked you out. I'd been kicked out of church. Booted right out. But it doesn't matter. Boot, snoot, what's the difference? Testify, for I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophet's book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add the plagues and so on. I'll tell you something, brother, sister. You're supposed to testify, but don't overdo it. Twice is enough. All right, one word off, as is Eden, it's all over. Because he said, he that adds or takes, he loses it. Now notice, what was that word in Eden that was the lie? Well, what was the lie? Well, let's find out. You know, it's always good to read it. Don't just think we read it and think we know the answer. Although it's very possible we certainly know the answer to perfection. But the point is, let's read it. 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beetle of the field. Ha ha, he was wise. He had the answers. He knew the conditions. He had the answer. Ha ha, listen to me. Wisdom. Serpent wisdom. And we're admonished by Jesus, you wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. Now, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree was in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither touch it, lest ye die. Now, I don't know what's written in there, no touching. But I can see why, because it's a sexual thing. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Why, they're saying we're going to have homosexuality, we're not going to die. No, no, not us. Oh, no, said Liberace. He even went to court against a man who called him a homo and won a lot of money. And I hope that guy, if he's living, sues the estate. Because that man perjured himself. And when you perjure yourself, it is not a civil suit, it is a criminal suit. And it cannot be put to rest until the courts adjudicate and pass on it. That's the law. I know the law. I'm not smart, but I know the law. Liberace. Rock Hudson. The boys, Rock Hudson, got a $31 million settlement. The judge said that's too much in case of AIDS. Is it too much? Maybe that judge will get AIDS. It's even claimed right now a woman went to a dentist. He wore gloves. And she got AIDS. I really don't believe that. They ought to put her under hypnosis, something else, and really find out. I wouldn't believe that myself. But there's a danger. Maybe he took his mask off, leaving him out. A little saliva fell down there. Maybe, I don't know. Oh, you're not going to die. Oh, no. Oh, they said to Liberace, you're not going to die. He died. Oh, yeah, there's safe sex. Oh, there sure is, all right. Oh, yeah. Sure. But of the fruit in the midst of the garden, don't eat, you'll die. Sure, you're not going to die. For God doth know the deeds of, then your eyes should be opened, and you should be as God's knowing good. And that's an outright flat lie. An outright flat lie. The serpent said, no way will God do what he said. That is, in the way he said it. Now, we'll get around this. That's the story of the Bible. That's the story of William Branham standing there night after night and morning after morning preaching and screaming and hollering, doing everything he can. So God interprets his word by performing it. Doesn't need an interpreter. He does it. Satan was the first interpreter. Okay. So the serpent said, no way will God do it. But he said, let me tell you instead what is the truth. Let me orchestrate your faith, your worship, your conduct. Let me orchestrate you in the production of life. And she had such a good time, she called her husband and said, you're missing something. Until today, Brother Branham branded it. He said, no child is born except for sexual desire. You can motivate yourself and say, well, I want a child. I want this. Why do you want it? Sexual desire. Well, I'm above that. I'm pure. You're a liar. You're like the jerk that sent the picture of his wife and she was years older. His name was Richardson. I forget. Her name was Zoe something. And she looked kind of like a haggis bag. And he put United for the Glory of God. And I said, United. I told my wife, United for the Glory of God. God doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. That's Bible. Sheesh. Pentecostals. The turned Baptist. So it was. He's a sweet guy. Not in a fruitcake. Now you don't listen. It's the truth I'm telling you. Satan says today, hey. As he said in Eden and in Jesus' day, no way will God do what he said and the way he said he would do it. No way. Let me tell you the truth and I'll explain it to you. So you'll know what's going on and what's going to happen to you. Then by me you can discern and be right. Now, the devil knew plenty about God and God's ways. He knew plenty about the Word. So he knew the day was coming when God would have a prophet. I believe this now. Because God does not copy the devil. The devil copies God. So you must have known how God sends a prophet. And he sends a prophet with, thus saith the Lord, vindication. The mighty, wonderful works of God. And they stand back and say, ah! See? God orchestrating. Man come in. Moses, prophets. Stood there. Struck the rock. Speak to the rock. Do this. Do that. God answers right back. Now, what's this all about? Says the prophet. I will tell you. So after the fact of vindication, he now tells you the reason, which is the word, which is the reason to get you where you should be with God. Because you see, you are a part of the word. And you must find your place. And come into your position. Because every cell in the body, and remember, our body dies by many, many cells, but those cells, they pass their life on. So today in the church, there's a body being built, and cells may be dying, but the life is going on, building that great body there. See? So Satan evidently knew that. So he beat God to the punch, so to speak. God let him do it. See? Okay. Now, so Satan says, hey, let me do the discerning. Hey, there's always two sides to every page. There's always two sides to every question, every marriage, every problem. You got a problem, you could die. I can tell you something about it. There aren't two sides. God is not a two-faced God. He's not a liar. There's only one side. That's God's truth. And you deviate just a little bit, you have entered the realm and the kingdom of Satan and have become an emissary. That's all we've got time for. Too bad. That's just my notes. Wednesday, we'll start on the dot of what? 7:30. No song service? Just going with the word. Then Saturday and Sunday, foot washing, two services. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your goodness to us, to see clearly, more clearly, as we go sermon by sermon, paragraph by paragraph, maybe just a sentence like we took this morning. Satan, his word, enthroned, extolled in the place of your word. And man finding us so acceptable, and he doesn't know he's been completely duped, deceived, and turned away, that neither the person nor the worship is received. We recognize that, Lord. We understand it. We understand also the other side of it, too, that you said every knee should bow and every tongue confess, and this is one way of doing it. But this is not that day. This is a sham. When all things will be made clear in that day, Lord, we recognize that. We know many things are made clear by revelation. We thank you for it. So, Father, we just pray now that you'll put these things in our heart in such a way that we're not going to be a part of Satan's kingdom by one word, O God. But, Lord, as your own word said, I want you to be wise as serpents. Smart as the devil himself to know every twist and every kink in every corner, but as harmless as doves, they who eat the dove food. Nature's not rebellious, nature's not murderous, not cantankerous, not fighting. But as Brother Branham mentioned, the dove that tried to take the message was wounded unto death and badly and bravely battled his way until he fell exhausted and dead. But he took the message. The prophet did that, Lord. He lived that kind of life. But no one can say he didn't stand up like the Apostle Paul and just stand there and was counted to even say, if I cannot raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead, if God tells me to, let the armies of the earth come and look at it. Let him shoot me down if I can't. Lord, that wasn't some little chicken. No. That was the eagle with the wisdom of God and the strength of God dealing in his own milieu, his own bracket, his own place in the kingdom. When a man can stand there, then, Lord, we know there's something really real. We're trying to stand there this morning, Lord, and by your grace we will stand there. Something you do for us, Lord, we're depending on it, Father. We're depending we're not shooting our mouths up here and down there, Lord. We're not laying something on the line that's not 100% with you, Father. We're believing that to that end. As we stand there, there won't be one miss. Nothing out of line. Oh, God, heal the sick amongst us. It's by your word, Lord, that spirit comes into this place, and it's the sweet spirit of Christ that comes in by the word. I'm praying, Lord, this morning that there won't be sick amongst us. I feel somehow, Lord, I believe that I know in the spirit that you're doing this already. And people don't have a need to worry. Sure, they take care of themselves, but there's a you're take caring of us now, Lord. You've come amongst us, O God. Surely with the signs and wonders of the prophet, you stood amongst us. You yourself leading us to the millennium. It's greater than the day of Moses because this is for real. That was just a type, shadow, a little period. Lord, we're going in immortal. How much more then, Lord, can the life of this word suffuse us and transform us and transfigure? We know it's going to. So thank you for everything you're doing, Lord, for everybody that needs your help, and we all need your help. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory, and may he give the greatest of all, which is a truly illuminated word, in every mind, heart, and soul, exalted unto you, Lord, above everything else, until each one is a true worshiper, a true child of God, a part of his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.